Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Examining ourselves, I actually preached the message, taking inventory of our lives, and that's what we want to continue to talk about, and how to go about doing that is the key. You know, we all know we need to do better, amen? I mean, I know we... Sometimes we look at our own life and we think, well, I'm doing pretty good. But God knows we all need to do better. Amen. There's no deception when you go to God. It's only we get deceived when we look at ourselves. We always think we're better than the next person. Amen. I mean, even when I was not saved, I said, well, Lord, I don't know. I don't even think I said Lord, because it wasn't really a prayer, but I know I'm not as bad as so-and-so, as if that made me more righteous. Huh? And that's what we do. But God knows that we are righteous in him as we're in him. Amen? Our righteousness comes from him. But our perfection is also in him, but he has to show us where we need to be perfected. That's the challenge, and that's the growth thing. And I'm convinced that the church, and I don't mean just this building, but the church as a body needs to seek to move into perfection, or if you don't like the word perfection, use the word maturity, to be what God really calls us to be. And I mention this, and this applies in America, because America is what we call the land of the free and the home of the brave. But if you don't do as the scripture says, he says, be free, but then he says, but don't use your freedom for what? For an occasion to the flesh. And that's what goes on in America, because people are free, but not spiritually free. Everything they think of in freedom has to do with the flesh. And so the reason why we're struggling in America is there's too much freedom, but there's not enough godly freedom. There's a lot of political freedom, and even that's being squelched, because you can't have freedom and flesh and expect there to be peace. Amen? That's why when you can freely get a gun, but if you don't have a control in your heart, you might want to shoot up a city or something, or a school, or your job, or you don't like your boss, and therefore you're going to go take him out. That's what freedom means if you're not sold under or bought under the control of the Holy Spirit. So our goal as a church is always to be subject to the power, which is God, and to walk under his guidance. And as we do that, we mature in not only spiritual things, but in natural things. Remember Jesus, the Bible says Jesus grew in stature and in favor with God. And this is because Jesus, you know, this is the wonderful truth of the incarnation. Jesus, although God, humbled himself to become a baby and then humbled himself to grow up and have to learn things just like regular people. But he had a different spirit because sin did not have control or dominion over him. Amen? So that's, and so as we're born again, as we go through new years, new decades, it's always good to do an inventory or get your look at a trying to create a fresh start, but you have to know where and how to go about doing that. We our springboard scripture was examine yourselves to see that you're in the faith. And that's something we should do, not just every year. We should be doing that regularly. I mean, when I get out in the car and I got a bad attitude, I need to examine myself. Why am I mad at this person just because they're driving slow? I mean, you ever ask yourself that question? I mean, because I know people drive. Look, I was going to pick up Gene this morning, and there was a car. No, that was actually we were going to the store this morning, and this car is just poking along. The light's green. There's no reason. Nobody's in front of them. Nobody's turning. And then I'm thinking, and I said it out loud, of course. I said, I wonder if he's on purpose trying to miss the light. I mean, what else could there be going on in his mind? But then I have to just catch myself. What difference does it make? I made the light. Leave him alone or her alone. Get out of people's business because you don't know what they're thinking. Unless you are going to get in their shoes. Amen? So we need to examine ourselves to see that we're in the faith. And as we also use this scripture, and I happen to see this scripture, of course we all know it, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I saw that Russell Wilson, when he signs his autograph, uses that as his springboard scripture. And so we talked about three things already, praying, reading, well, actually four, sharing the gospel and be discipling people that we could have influence over. We talked about those four, so we're going to talk about a couple more things, and then we'll move into the next phase of how we need to examine ourselves. So let's pray from there. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the clarity of your word. It's not confusing. The Bible says that if we seek, we'll find it. If we ask, it will be given. If we knock, the door will be open. So, Lord, you've made it available to us. And because you've made it available, we want to make ourselves available to it, the truth, which is not just an it, but it's you, a person. And we also know that the truth is a spirit, because the spirit of truth comes to dwell in us. And so, Lord, because we have this access to truth, help us to love the truth and be transformed by it. And Lord, sometimes the truth is going to hurt, but we know that the truth will ultimately set us free. So Lord, speak the truth to us and give us ears to hear it and to be doers of it. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. So we talked about reading and studying, and I was, as we're fasting, I turned on, like I said, I always turn on the Bible and let it play. And in the 5 days we fasted, and I didn't do it. I went through the whole New Testament, just listening, turning it on, listening. I'm not watching TV. I ain't doing nothing else. And I also read like two or three books. I mean, you got all this time. You do stuff, right? And not books on, but spiritual books. I was reading a book on finding the will of God and how to make the Holy Spirit your friend. I read a book about the seven secrets of the Jewish Jesus, and the text was about how all the prophets and how they prophesied the suffering Messiah, and it's in the Torah and the Tanakh, which are referred. That's what the Jews call the Torah, the first five Bibles. The Tanakh is the rest of the Old Testament, and so I'm inundating myself with truth, so that I can hear from God. My goal is to hear God on a more clear basis than I have in the past, and to see God manifest himself in a greater way in my life, not just in my life, but in those that are around me. So in order to do that, I have to study the scriptures. I have to get the truth. And, you know, the funny, I use the word funny, but that's not what I mean by ha-ha funny. But the funny thing about the Bible and those that were in the first century, the church, they even though they knew the Bible, they didn't have the Bible. And that sounds funny, but they weren't walking around with a testament in their pocket. They did this off of memory. And guess what? It was the old covenant, not the new, because the new wasn't around. They were the new. They created the new. They wrote the new. But it was because of the need to have truth explained in context with the new covenant. That's why God told them to write what they wrote. But nevertheless, in order to be transformed, you have to expose yourself to what the Spirit of God put in the hearts of the men who wrote the Bible. And in order for us to examine ourselves, we have to know how to examine. We have to know what the test is, right? You can't take a test if you don't know what's on the test, right? I remember when I was a professor, I always had a day before the test to tell them what's going to be on the test, what parts of the chapters that we're going to cover for the exam. And usually I didn't keep attendance, so I didn't care if they came to class or not. That was there. And you might say, that's odd, Pastor. No, that's teaching personal responsibility. If you don't want to come to class, that's up to you. You've paid your money. I'm getting paid, so you don't show up. That's you. But the day before the test, when you told what was on the test, everybody showed up. That was the class that they all attended because they needed to know what was on the test. And that's what we need to know. By studying the scriptures, we begin to know how to examine our personal lives, and therefore we can see what God is trying to do in us. Amen? But the next point is that we need to ask God what our calling and giftings are. Now, most of us probably have gotten to the place where we know this, the answer to this question. What is my calling? What is my giftings? What does God want me to do in the church? You know, we always think of callings as the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher calling, but there's other callings in the Bible. There's callings to play music. That's a call. You might say, well, where's that in the Bible? Well, David was the most specific one called to do that because David really organized. When it comes to the music part of the Bible, David organized that. David and what was the other guy that was with him? Asaph. Asaph was the other one. And really, some of the psalms that are attributed to David, if you look there closely, they were actually written by Asaph. So Asaph and David were contemporaries, and they set up this praise that was not known before David came on the scene. So there is a call to music, to be a musician, to be a singer, to be a musical writer. There's a call wherever God tells you, whatever God tells you to do, that is your call. I was called to be a lawyer. You might say, well, how does God call you to be a lawyer? Because if you're doing things at his direction, he can tell you what to do. Now, I later became called to be a pastor, but I'm still called to be a lawyer. And I take that call very seriously. I never try to lie to people. I don't steal from people. I don't cheat people. I'm not dishonest. I'm not a money grubber. If you pay, obviously you need to pay me, but I'm not going to chase you down if you owe me money. That's just the way it is. God is my source still. You might be paying me, but God is my source. And so maybe this is my principle in life. I don't argue over money. If you want X dollars, then okay, I'll give it to you. And Annis used to get mad at me. He said, well, why'd you cut your fee? I said, because I just don't have time to be arguing about it. $200. I mean, God is able to replace $200, isn't he? Amen. So let's move on. Let's move on. Now, I have gotten a little bit more shrewd about that. I don't always cut my fee as quickly. But nevertheless, I still won't argue about what God is going to provide. Amen? So what is your gifting? What is your calling? What has God shown you about you that points you to where he's pointing you? You know, people in the church sometimes say, well, I don't know what God is calling me to do. Well, think about it for a while. Don't become, we're so lazy mentally sometimes. What do I mean by that? We just want to cast it off. No, think about it. Meditate on it. What has God empowered you to do? What comes out in you when you're in a group? What comes out of you when you're by yourself? Where has God touched you in your personal life that gives you an indication that he's going to lead you in this way? We all have that. Before I got saved, I had an indication that God wanted me to go. I can't say God because I wasn't in God, so it was me, I thought, until I got in God, then he fixed it. But I didn't want to just be an employee. I wanted to be a business person. And then after I went in school and after I graduated from high school, I began to be good at public speaking. Like I've told you guys the story, in our group projects, I would volunteer right away. I will speak. And nobody else has to cry, sweat about it. I'll do that part. And that's what I did throughout all my college career. When I got into law school, even then, a lot of the lawyers didn't like to speak. And I thought that was an awful weird thing to be in law school. You want to go to court and you don't like to talk? That's kind of backward. So, again, I will be I'll argue every case that we have to talk about, I'll argue it. And so I saw God take that and use that. So that's how you begin to grasp, but even when you have those things, they then have to be turned over to the control of the Holy Spirit to become a gift, okay? You have an ability, but in order for it to be a gift, it has to be put in God's hands, and then he has to be able to use it, amen? Because a lot of people some people are good in math, right? I mean, you give people a math problem, they knock it out without even writing it down, right? But I don't know how that comes about. That may be a gifting, but it's a learned gifting, okay? Because you don't come out of the womb talking about, six times six is 36. You know, it doesn't happen like that, right? I mean, Sal hasn't memorized his math tables yet, has he, Marquise? Little Marcel? So it's a learned. So that's a learned thing. But there's some people that have aptitudes for certain things, but that's not necessarily your spiritual gift. Are you with me here? And sometimes we get that mixed up with the spiritual because then we put people in positions in the church because they have that that aptitude, and they're not spiritual, so they mess up things because they don't have an eye for the Spirit. And so when you have a spiritual gift, it has first a spiritual reference and then a natural one. But it always has both. Amen? Now remember, if you remember, and I'm going to draw this circle, and I'm still talking about giftings and callings. But if you remember when they built the temple, God said, "And I have anointed Aholiab and Bezalel, and I have given them wisdom to be able to do the things I told Moses to do, but they have the ability to do it, and everybody that comes under them." So as long as they did what God told them to do, they were able to finish the work that he called them to do. But notice also Bezalel and Aholiab were part of the group that died in the wilderness. Even though God had anointed them to do what he did. So you see, an anointing, a gifting is not just something that you can just do something with and then go do your own thing with. You should always keep it under the control of the Holy Spirit. So, but we need to find out what is our giftings, our callings. Now, there are spiritual callings and giftings that have nothing to do with the natural. Amen? So when you prophesy, that's not a natural gifting. That has to come from God or it's not going to come out. It's not going to be a prophecy. Discerning of spirits. People say, "Well, I have that gift because I'm very discerning," right? No, that's not the same gift. That's a natural discernment. But there is a spiritual discerning of spirits that helps you know when the devil is present and what to do about it. Amen? So you might have a sensitivity to things, but there's something more when it comes to a spiritual gift. Amen? So don't stop just with natural giftings. Don't stop with natural tendencies or aptitudes, but push past that and get what God wants out of that on a spiritual level. Amen? The next thing is we need to actively pursue God's will and direction. We need to actively be pursuing what God has called us and directing us to do. Where are we? Not just, you know, I mean, some of us, and like, oh, but he's in school, so God has called him to be there, obviously, or God wouldn't open the door, provide. That's another way you know how God is leading you is when he makes provision. Provision is a very good confirmation of God's leading. Amen? One of the things that I use when things happen to me, some negative thing, I always fall back on the call. Because when you fall back on the call, you know that God will keep you as you're going through whatever it is you're going through. So you say, Lord, I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't see why. Maybe I made a mistake, so I need to repent that. But Lord, I know you're going to push me through this because you called me to do this. Amen? So I have an assurance. See, this is not a faith thing. This is not I'm believing. I know that he's going to push me through. That's faith at the next level. Because faith, believing, you're still waiting to hear from God on where he wants you to do. But when you know that he's going to do it, all you're waiting for is the timing, amen, of the victory. Not that you're going to get the victory. You've got the victory. It's when is the victory going to arrive, amen? That's the different kind of faith. That's the faith that never shakes or is never shaken, amen? But when you know God is directing you, that's the kind of faith that comes when you're directed. Now that I have given up all my 5-year plans, my 10-year plans about being a pastor, I know that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. I just don't know when. Amen? So when we got the van, that's just one of the steps. And we might get a second or a third. We probably need to get a handicap access one. All right? That's right. But then we need fleet drivers. So, by the way, I need to get Michael's ID. You got your driver's license? You need to get your ID and to get Anna. So we get you guys on the... So you can begin to drive when the fleet arrives. Amen? But this is when you know God has called you, you never doubt that you're going to go through. You know what I mean? Go through. That means pass through the wilderness. Remember, the psalm says, yea, though I walk through the valley. Not though I park in the valley. He's walking through the valley. And we know David went through some valleys. I mean, Saul wanted to kill him. His son wanted to kill him. I mean, his own son. Can you imagine that? But because he was a power-hungry son, he wanted to be king. So he had to kill the king to become king. But he forgot about Joab in the process. He forgot about Joab. Anyway, that's another story. But we got to know that we're going through. And when you're called and directed by God, he will pull you through. Amen? And then the next thing on the spiritual level, are we seeking new encounters with God? What do I mean by that? Well, you know, for those that don't speak in tongues, are we seeking to allow God to baptize us in the Holy Spirit so that we can speak with new tongues? You know, the church is so, when it comes to spiritual things, we're so uncertain about whether I don't know why we need tongues. Well, first of all, God doesn't have to get your input on why he's doing stuff, okay? Let's just start there. I mean, God doesn't say, hey, look, Harold, I'm going to explain this to you because when you get like 40 years old, you're going to have a lot. He doesn't do that. He gives you and you have to take it by faith. If you don't want it, he moves on. he moves on. He said, well, they'll get it later, but I got to move on. But are we seeking new encounters? And I'm not talking about crazy stuff. I'm just talking about getting into a place where you weren't before. Are you able to understand? There were times when I couldn't really understand the book of Jeremiah. I read the book of Jeremiah over and over. I was like, man, this is just so much confusion going on in this book. But there was a time when one time I started reading, I said, oh, I see it. I see it clearly. It's very simple. Why couldn't you see it? Because sometimes we look at the Bible and we think it is always in chronological order. You guys know that all the books are not necessarily in chronological order? Amen. Revelation is one of the big pictures about sometimes he goes back and then he comes forward and he jumps around. But you just have to be patient and he will show you how it works. He'll show you the key to the whole thing. Yeah, but now I look at Jeremiah and it's simple. But I used to struggle with Jeremiah. Now I'm trying to get through Ezekiel, figure out Ezekiel. But Ezekiel is simple too, but he has these interesting visions thrown in. And then at the end, he talks about the rebuilding of the temple. And you always try to figure out, okay, how does this connect with what he was talking about? But it'll all come to me. But that's what I mean by a new encounter. Pursuing the truth so that the truth makes a mark on you. Meaning that it makes it so it's so clear now that, oh, I get it. I get it. God is speaking to me in that way. Or, you know, God uses you to pray for the sick. You know, some of us don't want to pray for the sick because we don't know if they're going to be healed. Look, man, it's not on you anyway. Just do it. And I met with Dean Elders. For you guys know Dean. He might show up one of these Sundays, so he might be coming. But he said Jesus never prayed for the sick. He commanded the sick to be well. Do you notice that? Jesus did not pray, Lord God. He prayed before he spoke to the sick person. He said in Lazarus' case, Lord, I thank you that you heard me. But I always know that you hear me because you do everything I ask you. But for the people's sake, I say this. And then he said, thank you, Lord. Lazarus, come forth. That's what he did. He didn't say, Lord God, I pray that you would bring Lazarus. No, he said, now Jesus is Jesus. Now, come on. I mean, we're trying to get there, but we're not there. But that's where we have to get. And in order to get there, we have to have encounters where he speaks to us and directs us so that we can get where he wants us to be. And that's really what the church is all about. We're supposed to be 2 billion strong trying to get to Jesus, to be like him. Can you imagine 2 billion people acting like Jesus? Come on. You talk about everybody being healed. There would be no sick folk if we're all pursuing him. But all of us are not pursuing Jesus. We want to be saved. We want to go to heaven. But it don't take all that. That's the next line, right? I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to do all that. I don't want to give that much of my time. I don't want to serve God that you know. I don't want to have to. There was another video of beheading of Christians. I don't want to give my life like that. I don't want to pay that price. Okay, then. That's what it may cost. I hope I don't have to pay that price, but I'm willing to. If they all said, all Christians stand up, I'm not going to hide. I'm going to sneak out the back door now. You know why they're all standing up? I'm going to get out. No, Jesus said, if you deny me before people, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. You don't want to be in that position. So even though it's scary, they say all Christians stand and they got machine guns in their hand, I'm going to stand. And I'm going to trust if I'm supposed to be here, God will block the bullets. And that's happened too, right? There's testimonies, folks, firing squads, shoot them down, and they're all standing. Because God said, it's not time for you to die. But if it is time to be absent from the Lord, the body is to be present with the Lord. So I have nothing to fear. But that's radical Christianity. That's not, I don't feel like going to church today, Christianity. I don't want to read the Bible. I'm tired. I work. That's not radical. That's just typical. But if you want God to do radical things, you got to do radical things. I mean, the disciples were radical people, my friends. They were told not to speak in Jesus' name and didn't wait until they got out. They told them right in their face, look, you decide whether it's better for me to obey God or you. They said it right to their face. And then they went out and did some more preaching as soon as they went out. And then they call them back and say, didn't we tell you not to do this? And then I just say, they probably should have said, didn't we tell you that we were going to do it? I mean, we could have settled that before we left here. Because I'm not going to stop. They can't stop. And then they were glad when they got beaten. They said, we rejoiced that we were called. I mean, come on, that's radical. That's being radical. And in order, and then you wonder why Peter's shadow was healing people. I mean, he didn't even have to touch people. His shadow was healing people. My God, man, that takes some radical commitment to get to that level. It cannot come from this, the Seahawks play today. Look, I like football, but I ain't going to give football for my soul. I just won't do it. I could tape the game and come to church. Now, I'm not saying the church is the end-all, be-all, but it starts there. It's got to start somewhere. I don't know if I should pay tithes. Man, look, God gave you everything. All he asked for, 10%. Give him what he asked for and watch him turn the 10% into more than you could ever imagine. Stop talking about what you think and ask yourself. But this is all about examination. If you want that kind of a lifestyle, you've got to be able to examine your heart and be honest with yourself to get there. Amen? Amen. All right, next. I'll open this up and then we'll quit. It's about 12:30 now. And when it comes to family life, the Bible says it's Matthew 5, 23 through 24. So let's go there real quickly. Matthew 5:23 through 24 in Matthew. Now, one of these days, I'm going to get here early enough to put the notes back in the overhead. I used to do that. I tried to do it quickly this morning, but it didn't work. So it says here, but I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of the hell fire. But this is the part I want to hear. 24:23 says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you. Notice it didn't say you have something against your brother. It says that he has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge and the judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. And assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. Now, you can take that as literal prison or you can take that as a spiritual prison. If you don't deal with the issue with your brother, you will be imprisoned by that issue. Am I right? If you don't forgive people, who does it bother? It's you. Every time they come out, oh, I don't like that. I can't stand. I gotta go. I can't stand. I can't be here. So this is what we use to help with our family members. So the first question about examining our family life is, have we done everything in our power to mend the breakdowns in our family relationships. Everybody say, have I done everything in my power? Now notice I say my power because that's what the scripture says. Romans 12, 18 says it like this. And we all know this passage, right? It says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now notice it does say, wait a minute, if it's possible. Now the Bible says all things, with God, all things are possible, but not with people. Some people just are not going to be at peace with you, but it says as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with it. In other words, you go and you fix it on your side, and you have no control on their side. You can fix it, but they may say, look, I don't want to hear anything you have to say. I'm not going to accept your apology. And so, you know, we're done here. You can't do anything else. All you can do is begin to pray for their heart to receive forgiveness. People unthink this about forgiveness, just like they think about everything else. They think forgiveness is a feeling. I feel like forgiven. I don't feel like forgiven. No. Forgiveness is a decision. Everybody say, forgiveness is a decision. The feelings follow. They will. Because you never, look, how many feel like forgiving people that hurt you? Nobody. I remember the guy was trying to destroy my practice, my life. I didn't feel like forgiving him. I felt like beating him up. I felt like finding his car and tearing it up. I felt like that. But I'm not governed by my feelings. I feel what he tells me to do. Then I do it, and then I feel like it later. That's the spirit leading the flesh. But so much of the body is the flesh leading the spirit, and the flesh is not a good leader when it comes to spiritual things. The flesh never wants to do anything spiritual. It never feels like it. And if we wait for feelings, we'll never get this thing going. I mean, come on, look. There is so much mundane parts to Christianity. I'm gonna just be honest. It's not always aha, hakama, shalom alahaya, I'm going to pray this morning. It's not like that. You get up and you do it because God told you I need to hear from you and you need to hear from me. And there's some days I don't feel like, I said, Lord, can we speed this thing up? You know, I got to get to doing stuff. He said, you know what he says to me? Get here earlier. not speed me up. Get here earlier. If you want to get done by 9, get here by 8. Or get here by 7:30 so that we can be done. But don't talk to me about the time. It's you. You're the one sleeping. I'm awake always. So start at 5 if you want to. You see what? But I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like reading. Let me tell you about the fact. I'm listening to the word and I'm like, man, I'm just listening and I ain't getting none of that. I'm not listening. I'm not hearing. I'm listening, but I'm not hearing. I was just kind of, my mind was spinning. But I didn't turn it off because that's my flesh in the fast not being able to concentrate. But guess what? The Bible says man doesn't live by bread alone, but he lives by the word, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So this fast, actually, even though it was a 5-day, it didn't feel like it. I was stronger, more alert. I mean, sometimes I have a hard time with the 3-day. Last time I was doing a 3-day, I was trying to find every juice I could drink because I'm like, I'm hurting here. I need some refreshment. You know, you have the Gatorade in the house. I mean, anything to give some kind. But this fast, it was different. because I just kept the word playing. So, no, we don't always feel like what we need to do. We don't want to witness to people. We don't want to be a light always. But like I told you, you're already lit. So you can't really hide it. It's just now you have to be on fire. You know, we ran into somebody that we've known from years. A kid plays with Marquise's daughter. And I've been talking to her about coming to church for years, her and her mom. And I found out, Marquise told me, somebody else we know been talking about going to church. He gave her a card yesterday to come to the church. And then she told me about, yeah, but if I show up at church, the church might explode because I'm such a... I said, come on now. I told her, look, I said, first of all, you're a whosoever will. That's your name. You're a whosoever will. Let him come. So the God can handle you. You're not such a magnificent sinner that God can't deal with. You're not Judas. You're not in that category. So I said, don't let the devil lie to you. You can come and you're welcome to come always. But people, see how the devil, I mean, he just playing on her. But let us know that this is what it's going to take. The mundane stuff we have to do to get people, not for our sake, for everybody else's sake. The gospel is for us, but it doesn't stop there. Amen? It goes out of us to all those that are around us. Amen? Okay, I'm going to pull the plug here. So I'm going through step by step three areas of our lives: spiritual, family, and personal. And we just started on the family, mending those breakdowns as much as we have power to do. And we'll pick up on the next two or three after that. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.